Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Jindal Saw Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikash Singh from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital, I would like to welcome you all on Jindal Saw 1Q FY23 conference call. From the management side, we have Mr. Neeraj Kumar, Group CEO and Whole-time Director, Mr. Vinay Gupta, President and Head Treasury, Mr. Narendra Mantri, President, Head Commercial and CFO, and Mr. Rajiv Goel. Without taking much time, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Neeraj Kumar for the opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Welcome to all our stakeholders, friends. Friday, we had our board meeting where we announced our first quarter results as well, which is standalone as well as consolidated. The gross income was 3,019 crores with an EBITDA of 255, PBT of 37, PAT 28. These are all standalone numbers. Since the consolidated numbers are the contribution in the consolidation is not of very much or very large significance, we would focus on the standalone numbers a little more. If you now look at these results, Q1 2022 top line was 2,477, which is the comparable quarter. Trailing quarter, 3,345. If you now correlate this with our order book position, this gives us enough comfort that now the demand is picking and we expect the year to end on a very robust note. On all our business segments, we are seeing a healthy demand in terms of the deal flow or in terms of outlook. Raw material consumption continues to be a matter of concern for all of us. The other matter of concern is finance expenses, which is moved away from 97 to 131. The major contribution on one side, you have a positive on the top line, which gives a very good and a healthy order book, plus a trajectory for growth ahead. For this quarter, raw material and finance charges are something which has caused the EBITDA to drop to 255 crores as opposed to 412 for the comparable quarter and 391 for the trailing quarter. Let's first deal with the simple finance expenses. This is nothing but primarily because of the fluctuation in the foreign exchange. As we all know, this last quarter has seen a lot of volatility in the dollar rupee market. That is a large contributor to the increase in foreign exchange expenses because the accounting treatment requires that the negative must be booked as the financial expenses. Even though when there is a positive, then it actually comes through the top line, it comes through the receivables. This quarter happens to be the year where, as per the accounting, the exchange has put us on the wrong foot. The raw material, we all know what the whole world commodity has gone through. just to take a few comparison, coal, which is now around 200, used to be, it went up to 600. So it has gone very volatile and unprecedented level of cost for commodities like coal, iron ore, which has kind of put our inventory and consumption at a very high level. This did suppress the result for this quarter, but the good news is that now we are booking orders, we are seeing a very robust growth, commodity market has largely corrected itself, and we see that the trend should continue. So, going forward, the second quarter may still have some residual impact of raw material, but definitely the way the raw material bookings, etc. are happening, we are very, very confident of the second half that we would reap the benefits of the reversal in the commodity price at this point of time, as well as the robust order book that we are seeing and the orders that we have booked. So that is about the raw material. As far as coal is concerned, we have long-term contracts for economies of scale. We take one shipment per quarter, which is from, we import those coal, which has provided us with a very stable raw material. Actually, the prices, the contract is such that the quantity and the periodicity, they are all confirmed. The price is fixed spot. So even though we did take, we have taken precautions for kind of hedging our raw material, but this time, because of the extreme spike, the hedging mechanism didn't work, or it had a minimal impact. So we did have one or two shipments. So as I said, Q2 also may have some residual impact on the volatility in the raw material prices. But beyond that, we see a very, very good outlook. So on that, let me then turn my attention to the gross consolidated or the consolidated results. There, again, if you see, the PAT does show a marginal red, but it's primarily because of in Abu Dhabi facility, which is, again, we have a very good order book. It's operating well, but there again, we got hit by the raw material, which is pig iron. Pig iron has been hit in Abu Dhabi primarily because of the A, commodity prices, B, Russia-Ukraine war. But now we have stabilized, we have found alternate market to buy it from, and going forward, that should be again stabilized. So nothing beyond that in the consolidated, except that the performance of Abu Dhabi was less than expected on account of the raw material, change in raw material prices. As you would see, deliberately as a strategy to contain our exposure towards the volatility of the raw material, we had brought down our order book from the usual comfort level to around 60 to 65%. Now you would see a trend where the order book is going to swell up to our comfort level, which will be around $1 billion. Order book at this point of time is largely driven by a very strong tailwind in the domestic market. If you look at Europe, there is a question mark, because at this point of time, even if there is some orders, we are not very sure how Europe is going to perform if indeed recession happens. We are not sure how Russia-Ukraine war will pan out. We are that way relieved to see that at least now the China-Taiwan conflict is not in the immediate near. It may be somewhere distant, but at least the way it was panning out, appearing, we had some concerns, but that is a sense of relief. U.S. are sending some very strong signals. U.S. is giving good demand. Inflation is high, which is kind of squeezing the credit control there, which is a mixed bag for us. But there is demand in oil and gas. In India, the water segment that we are seeing, that is what is going to drive the growth. The other is the new segments of the new markets that we are entering, which is seamless, stainless, alloy, and now with Hunting. This combination is going to be very, very formidable. The Hunting joint venture, we are moving towards a soft launch in this year for sure. We are targeting that if we can do that towards the end of this calendar year or beginning or the first calendar quarter next year. But that plus the seamless, stainless and alloy combination, that basket is become very, very formidable. We are likely to get a lot of orders from, or a lot of tenders are in the pipeline from ONGC, and that would give us a lot of comfort. So Hunting joint venture, once it comes into play, we also have now signed a exclusive technology transfer with OSI USA. That's again a very specialized oil and gas company across the globe. We would become their exclusive partners in India. So we have signed that exclusive agreement, and that would give us even a strong foothold in the OCTG market. So that gives us the sense. The good thing that we are seeing is large DIA, because of the water sector, is coming back. Oil and gas also in large DIA, we are seeing a good traction. We have got some very good wins. As the commodity prices moves, we are seeing a little bit of softening on the pellet prices, but that's expected and that's okay because that is getting more than compensated by the rise in the pipes. With that, broadly, I think I have covered the standalone as well as consolidated results at a high level. One thing that I'm sure is all of you would be looking at is the update on NTPC. The next date for NTPC is September 6th and 7th. This time the judge has given two dates, and therefore we expect that the arguments would begin on merits. Once that happens, then we are very hopeful that we should be able to close this process soon. So with that, let me pause and take some questions. For the questions, I have my colleagues Vinay and Narendra, wherever the numbers are required, they would assist. One request, that if you have something which is very, very specific or a very small nitty-gritty number, if we do not have the answer around the table now, please send a mail. Rajiv is sitting. He will note down your, he would expect a mail from you. We would be answering by mail as well, something that is of a minute detail or a minor detail for which we may not have those numbers on the table for now. Let me stop here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Pratiksha Dhafari from Equitas. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was if you could quantify the forex expense that is included in our finance cost right now for this quarter. What is the impact of forex?
It will be in the tune of upward of 40 crores, say between 40 and 45.
Okay. All right. And the last quarter commentary had mentioned that for saw pipes and DI pipes, we had covered our raw material. So the order book raw material was covered. If you could just update us on the position for current order book.
Again, what you would see that there is a lag in the raw material, but as I explained to you, in coal where we get a four large shipments in coal per year. So there the contract is, it's a framework arrangement. The coal prices is fixed on the monthly average in which the supply takes place. So that is more or less on spot. This at least has given us an assured supply of good coal, which is largely imported.
Okay. And how about the metal, sir?
Say it again.
So the metals have, for the steel and for DI and saw pipes, is the steel also back covered order book?
Yeah. The steel now we have booked the raw material prices for future where the LCs etc. have opened. When the market was very volatile, then the suppliers were also shying away from getting into a contract which was anything beyond that, a very short delivery period. Because what we have seen in the commodity market is absolutely unprecedented. So that kind of disrupted all the market order or the trade arrangements that we had. But now they have all come back to normal. It looks like it will normalize, and therefore we are able to block or book raw materials.
So we should then, given by that, we should see margin deterioration even in the next quarter, right? From these levels?
We should see not margin deterioration, we should see pressure. What we expect Q3, Q4 to be absolutely fantastic, where we should actually see an upswing major. Q2 should be a residual impact, so it would be under pressure, but maybe a little better than Q1.
Okay. And on seamless front, if you could just highlight on, you know, the export quantum, the export opportunity there. And also with...
Exports, we are doing very well. Export, okay, in seamless business, stainless business, Ukraine was a major supplier to the world. So that supply has been kind of... vacated, which gives opportunities for us new players to enter. So export is doing well. We are getting very good prices and we want to build on it. We want to consolidate on it.
So from our existing order book, how much would be exports for seamless, sir?
Export in terms of a top line, you would see around 30%.
And order book?
Seamless. Yes, the seamless order book on June 30th is close to 120 million and exports are approximately
30%. 30%. So this is 70-30.
Okay. so we've seen our order book to be, you know, pretty range bound for the last 2-3 quarters.
You will see that now increasing. You will see that now increasing because as the raw material prices have stabilized, we would go for longer delivery and you will see the order book build.
So we do expect volume growth in seamless for this year?
We do expect, yes, seamless as well as stainless.
Okay, all right. And on UAE front, again, you know, we've seen that our order book for last 3 quarters has been fairly lower as compared to the few quarters before that. So how do we look at...
We are likely to close the year higher than last year. And as I said, it was a deliberate strategy to keep the order book low so that we don't get exposed to long delivery versus the volatile raw material prices. It will now the order book will build. We have a very healthy pipeline, and the year end we expect it to be better than this year. Means the 21st March 2022.
Okay, and we would expect margins also to improve given the raw material.
Our raw material prices have improved.
Okay, and just one last question on. Other expenses, you know, we've seen some, is there any one-off this time? We've seen a sharp increase in other expenses this quarter.
Let me see. Other expenses?
Other expenses is dependent upon the order. suppose if there are certain DDP contracts, because of that, the freight and the duties are also linked to that contract, and that is covered under that other expense.
So you can't have a, you cannot predict a pattern that. So this is essentially because a larger portion of DDP contracts have been executed during this quarter.
Okay, and what, you know, if you could just comment on the trajectory for your working capital loan. Given that we expect the prices have softened, would we expect the working capital loans also to trim down going ahead?
Yeah, so the eventually working capital intensity was higher for the quarter ended 30th June, primarily for two reasons. Number one, as you yourself mentioned, the prices were higher. Number two, now we started booking the raw material for the new orders to block the prices. But moving forward with the softening of the raw material prices, we expect that the raw material intensity in terms of total working capital borrowing can go down, but not very significantly because we are looking for increasing the production and the sale quantity.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Skyridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you for the opportunity. So a follow-up on the previous question regarding working capital debt. So there will be some slight reduction in WC debt in coming quarters. Can you share the effective interest rate we are looking at right now, including the current rate hike we had from RBI?
Okay, so the rate, which is a mix of rupee and the USD, was close to 6.5% for the last quarter. We don't expect significant increase in this quarter because it depends how the pricing is done in the sanctions. But yes, over the next for the balance period, we expect an increase of roughly 25 basis points in general.
Okay. Thank you. And so secondly, in previous conference, you had mentioned about consolidating the organization structure somewhat. I think you have around 27 subsidiaries and associates, and you had said that you will be merging some of your subsidiary companies with your parent company. So how is that process going?
So there was basically a merger of three associate oblique subsidiary, which is Jindal Fitting, Jindal Quality, and JTIL. So this the merger has been now approved by the NSE and BSE, and this is going on. This has been recently approved by the BSE NSE.
Okay. Okay.
So we are following the process.
Sorry?
The process is being followed.
Okay. Okay. And thirdly, sir, how much inventory do you keep, in the sense that do you generally contract for 3 months inventory or maybe 6 months inventory? And if suppose a time such as this, when things are very, very volatile, do you keep 1 month inventory and keep changing on? So how does that work? Can you explain?
It really depends on the product mix, because for the longitudinal helical pipes, this is back to back. In that sense, these are made to order inventory. So there is no concept of a commodity. Inventories are always against a specific order, and they are made to order inventory. Now, in terms of ductile iron pipe, the raw material is coking coal and the iron ore. Coking coal, we take broadly 3 ships in a year. And this is given as per the schedule, 3 to 4 ships. And it really depends when the ship is coming, what delivery time he has given. And the iron ore we are buying practically every day. Normally the iron ore inventory would be in the vicinity of 3 to 5 weeks time. So we don't, this is not like we are keeping the inventory as in, like we will keep 3 months or 5 months. It is a very specific product-wise inventory.
Okay. Sir, thank you very much. And lastly, you mentioned that during Q2, there might be some spillover effect of high-cost inventory of Q1. But Q3 and Q4, you're expecting them to be really good. So can we expect the margin levels for H2 of the financial year to be, you know, relatively same as the previous year or a little better then?
That would be some forward-looking statement. So, but what we have said is that the H2 looks better than the H1.
Okay, but you cannot give any particular number, if it will be equivalent to previous year.
We are prohibited to say that, so we are giving like H2 will be better than H1.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sneha Jain from Brickwork Ratings. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, all. Thank you for giving me this platform. Sir, I just wanted to confirm, do we have any price escalation clauses, because a lot of our orders are the government-based? So how about these escalations and all?
We have succeeded in persuading the government to include price variation clause. That was one of the strategy that we had adopted, conscious strategy, that going forward, we must get this included in our government contracts, especially when we went through such volatile. And I'm happy to let you know that, yes, now many of the government contracts are including price variation clause.
Okay. So, out of this US 733 million order book position, how much we can presume is from the government entities and are backed by the price escalation clause?
Just hold a bit. Is it the major? Okay, 733.
Yeah.
Roughly 60% would be government, the rest would be EPC. So you can say roughly 60 to 65 we would be covered by a price variation clause.
And what would be the tentative variation percentage if we talk about?
So the variation, okay, you get covered, you get compensated more or less 80-85%, because they are linking it to pig iron in most of the cases, which is a correct indicator to link it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And as you said, regarding this amalgamation of these three entities, it is recently approved by NSE and BSE. So by when we can expect some, updates in the financials? It will be toward the end of this financial year only?
The answer is yes. The effective date is now 1st of April 2022, so whenever it happens, you will get to see that. But for all practical purposes, you can assume that these three entities have been amalgamated and merged. This would again help us position Jindal Saw in a much, much stronger position.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Akshay Kothari from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, regarding the case of Jindal ITF versus NTPC, have we received that amount of around 1900 crores or not?
Okay, maybe you have missed my initial part.
Yes, sir.
The matter is in the High Court. At this point of time, the hearing is in September, first week, 6th, 7th September. We have received an interim award of about 850 crores against bank guarantee. But otherwise, we will have to wait for the High Court to, you know, there is an appeal available. The award is always already in our favor, unanimous award. So the appeal is what is in progress at present.
Okay, sir. And so you mentioned somewhere in the comments, opening comments.
Actually, sorry to interrupt you. Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah. And so you mentioned in the opening comments that due to unprecedented price rise in commodity, hedging mechanism did not work. So just wanted to understand what would be our hedging cost as such for the full year?
No, when I said hedging, okay. So we have either natural hedge or we book prices. We do not have in India the commodities or the future market, and we do not operate in that. So
okay.
The cost is no implicit cost in it.
Okay, understand. Yeah, that's it from my side, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Patel from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So given that the demand environment is now positive and the commodity prices are stabilizing, what kind of a volume growth we can expect in FY23 in pipe segment particularly?
Pipe segment, you should see a healthy growth in terms of what we last year ended at. What did we end at, Lala?
1 million.
1 million. So we should see a growth over that.
Okay. And would it be fair to say the major growth will come from the DI part of the business?
Both. DI, large IR.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, sir. That's it from us.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, when we look at the volume data for Q1 and compare it with last year's Q1, we have seen lower execution on all the verticals except seamless. So, even the pellet is down. So could you explain, sir, what was the reason for lower execution for this quarter?
I have already explained to you. It was primarily because we had, because the higher you would have executed, the more the impact of the raw material, higher price raw material would have been there. So the whole idea of when the raw material prices, if you see in LSAW, DI, all of these, if you compare your Q1 2022, we are on the lower side, which was primarily because we are trying to contain our supplies and trying to contain the hit on the raw material.
And still we are left with a portion of the order book that will be executed.
Yes, some part, some residual.
In percentage terms, sir, can you give some color to the same?
Say it again?
in percentage terms, what portion of our current order book is still at lower prices and we will take a hit on the margin?
In the second quarter, you could take maybe 60-40. 60 would be the residual raw material, 40 would be new orders, or orders with new raw material.
Sir, what are the current maturities that are present, Mr. Mantri, for FY23 and how are we looking to pay or whether we are going to... No, sir, in terms of money, loan maturity.
Okay, loan, how much is the repayment obligation?
Yes, sir, yes.
Just 300 crores.
Remaining is just 225.
So, 300 crores is what is payable during this year. 225 has already been paid. So on term loan, 225 is remaining. 75 has been paid. I'm sorry for that. So there, cash flow wise, we are okay. Loan wise, we are okay. Trending. So.
Okay. Two small questions. Firstly, sir, on the Sathavahana, you did mention that it is still in the IBC part and due to some litigation purposes and all, it is still pending.
Very soon, so, we are hopeful to get the nod from NCRT because, as you know, one of the NCLT, one of the creditors have filed a case or objection to the NCLT, and it is now lying with the president of NCLT to finally adjudicate the order. We are hopeful that it should go in our favor, and it should happen pretty soon.
And we have already spent the 250 crore on modernization of the plant. And what is the update on the?
So that is a different. There are two things which is happening on the parallel. There are two things which are happening parallelly. One, there is a repair and maintenance contract that we have got. We have spent that 250, which is completely safe. We would get chance to recover that going forward. So there is no doubt about that. That has been used to speed up the commissioning of the plant. The plant is getting ready now to get commissioned. And then on the parallel path is the NCLT process, where Jindal Saw is also a interested bidder and is very much in the race. So these two are parallel path, independent path, in which case the plant, Sathavahana plant, would get commissioned soon. We hope that it will get commissioned during this calendar year. And by then, if the NCLT results come in our favor, so that would give us a head start to get this plant up and running and operational very soon.
Right, sir. Sir, on the non-core assets, sir, any more light you want to share? I think so, some assets were lined up.
Yes, we are cleaning up some non-core assets. You would see some movement both on the consolidated basis as well as on the standalone basis, loans, advances, non-core assets. There is a work plan which is definitely progressing, and before this year end, we should see some definitely noticeable or even significant movement on those parts.
Any size you can share?
No, at this point of time, since those transactions are all under negotiation or they are, there is an exclusivity that we have, but I can tell you that it would be something which will be noticeable. The other important thing that I wish to mention is that now both JWIL, which is the EPC, they have started doing very well. So whatever is the old outstanding, you would see even on the standalone balance sheet, there is a certain return in loans and advances. The waste to energy business is not taking any more support from anywhere. They have in fact started returning support. Four of the plants would be operational very soon. Okhla with an increased capacity. So those two businesses have become profitable and are looking really good.
Okay. And the last point, sir, out of the total remuneration paid to KLPs, including you, Mantri ji, and Vinay ji, how much is the fixed part and how much is performance? And when is your renewal due, sir, Mr. Neeraj ji?
Mostly everything is, you can say 95% would be kind of fixed, and it happens every March. Every March is our appraisal cycle.
Okay, there is no variable pay, no performance payment as such.
There is a portion which is there in the, which is linked to SAR, and that's what I told you, that's about 95% is kind of fixed.
Okay. And your terms comes up for renewal when, sir?
Next year. Probably next year is when it would come for renewal.
It comes to vote. Right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Vikash Singh from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, I want to understand what is our bed book position currently versus what it was 5-6 months back, how it has been moved in last 6 months?
You're in the order book?
Yeah, bed book position, bed book. Orders for which we have bidded, but
okay. That I have already covered. It's growth is very healthy. A lot more demand is being in the, a lot of inquiries, a lot of serious inquiries in terms of converting it into negotiations, discussions, and we see a very robust and a healthy bid book.
So that is largely on the water side in India, if I believe in your from your opening remark.
No. Actually, water, oil and gas, and in exports, seamless.
Understood, sir. Sir, in your comments, you said that Europe is currently kind of a gray area where nobody can tell for sure. But there's another theme which is running parallelly, which is the Europe shifting from Russian oil and gas, basically. For that, they might need a huge capex and bring new pipeline. So just wanted to understand your thought process on the same and how much of that area is an addressable market for us?
Europe wanting to move away from Russia, yes. But will all that translate into pipelines? Not sure. Because they are also looking at LNG terminals, they are looking at shipments, because they have to fill the gap immediately. So pipe is a good transporting solution, but it's a long-term transporting solution. So at this point of time, A, Europe has to find that money if they want to make that kind of investment. If it gets into recession, it will be that much more difficult. Plus, at least in the interim phase, temporary phase, Europe has to look at ways to fill that gap. And therefore, we still have, because if it gets into recession, then the making investments into large pipelines would be an issue. And they also have to find first stable suppliers in terms of where would they get this from? Because then once you build a LNG terminal, then they have options to import it from, you know, multiple locations. But building a pipeline, then first they have to find a stable supplier.
Understood, sir. Sir, in terms of our Abu Dhabi plant, is this Saudi water market is also addressable by us? Because I was just reading somewhere that the Saudi has a very big water capex plans for the next 3 to 4 years.
Correct. Saudi is one of the primary markets that we address to because of the geographical proximity.
Understood, sir. Sir, just one thing. Since our DI pipe capacity has already been running to kind of a near to full potential, and we are giving a volume guidance of a higher volume. So, is it coming from where saw pipes where you are seeing the larger part of the growth, or is the seamless? If you could just explain a little bit on those also.
As I said, all, and we are also hopeful that in DI, if the NCLT comes in our favor, then there could be some towards the end of the year capacity increase or supply increase even in DI.
Okay. Sir, our existing capacity, which was roughly 5 lakh ton, is it any way to, or debottlenecking where we can take up to 5 lakh 50 or 6 lakh, or that 4 lakh 50 can go at max 5 lakh only, and then we have to basically pray that the Sathavahana lands in our lap?
No, you are talking about
I'm talking about our existing DI capacity, because the way I see that the next 3 to 4 years is going to be very good for DI pipe players. A lot of demand is pending. So just wanted to understand, since our capacity, we have some capacity constraint there.
No, capacity constraint is like now we have put 2 more finishing lines, which is now focused on export. So to that extent, the capacity is balanced. Now it is getting balanced properly. We are going to get capped now on our hot metal, because we have 2 blast furnaces, and the hot metal is what is going to be constrained now, and therefore in Samaghogha, going beyond 550, etc., is not possible.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead. Saket, your line is on mute. May I request you to unmute your line? Saket Kapoor, may I request you to unmute your line from your side? Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next follow-up is from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Skyridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you again. Sir, I wanted to know, apart from Sathavahana and Hunting JV, you don't have any other capex lined up at the moment, right?
No major capex. Some related capex with respect to Hunting and OSI is there, but yes, apart from these, there is no major capex on the next.
Sir, in any measures that we are undertaking to improve our, you know, debt to equity and reduce the debt portion, because we are already operating at, you know, less than our, you know, much less than our current installed capacity.
But we are... just hold. When you say debt to equity, I hope you are meaning our long-term debt to equity, which is, I would... put it in a very, very healthy category, because our long-term debt is less than 2,000 crores and the net worth is more than 6,000 crores. Now, when you have a working capital, when you add, that typically should not be a part of the debt-to-equity ratio, because working capital is a part of the trade finance, which is related more to operations.
No, yeah, I understand that. I mean, the debt equity is also less than 1, but I'm just saying that since we are already operating at less than, you know, optimum utilization, but then we're still acquiring Sathavahana, and also I understand that you want to gain, you know, some foothold in South India also. But, like, what's the, you know, end strategy here? Because can't we just, you know, get our existing...
At this point of time, the term loan profile is very nicely balanced. So there is no need to either accelerate, because year on year we have a cash flow burden of approximately 300 to 400 crores, which is which gives us a very comfort in terms of preserving the cash for operations and other things.
But no major capex planned apart from this, yeah?
No, I have already said no, but Your question about Sathavahana. Sathavahana is going to give us a significant advantage in terms of incremental capacity and then two locations, one in south and one in west. That also will kind of give us a strategic and competitive advantage because freight outward is something that we must watch when we are looking at pipes.
Okay. So, sir, that's DI pipes. And regarding saw pipes, we have like a very good capacity there, which is running at low utilization.
Yeah, water coming in there, especially in the water sector.
Okay. Okay. Okay, sir. Let's hope for the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So on the volume front, I missed your the deliverable for FY23. How are we aligned to end the year in terms of the delivery schedule for the pipes? And I have another question about the value creation ideas, taking into account the working environment has been really tough for us because of the wages of the commodity prices, and that is relevant to all pipe companies. But over and all above, what steps? I think so, sir. We have only the professional management present here, and nobody represent from the promoter side, since they are the largest shareholder. But would like to understand steps like creating separate verticals, steps like going for a buyback, steps like creeping acquisition. What's the thought process of the team in terms of these aspects? Since investors having invested in Jindal Saw over a period of time have been a loser's lot. So, firstly, is it a cause of concern for the team or not? Because whoever is representing us on the board today are professional people who are there to discuss the numbers, discuss the outlook, discuss the way how things are today and what it can be shaping up tomorrow. But in terms of when it comes in terms of value creation, when it comes of the right value ascertained to your stock, which is trading on the stock market, you have limited power. And it is only to the promoters that these questions could be very well answered. So your take on the thing.
I think you would get a chance to have the promoters, the chairman, in the shareholders meeting. So there you would be able to ask them, if you want to ask them the questions, what you have in mind from them. As far as we are concerned, as I have always been saying, the concern is always there because the market cap, if you see, of this company is far below than what is desired. So it is a matter of concern. It is a matter of something that we look at very, very closely every day. But we do understand that there is some overhang of a few things, one of them being NTPC. So we hope once we see some traction on the NTPC arbitration, we hope that the market starts valuing us the way we should. Because in terms of, if you see the kind of initiatives that should have been taken either on the corporate or on the operating side or on the loans and advances. Corporate, as you know, now we are only a company focused on pipes on the core businesses as we define it. Operating side, probably we have one of the best performance if you take any benchmark. Loans and advances also things are now beginning to move. So if you look at the fundamentals, every time we discuss this, everything that needs to be done, all boxes are ticked. But still the market cap or still the market is not reacting to all of these because now we feel there are some extraneous factors and there is a overhang on those factors which is there. So we hope that things should get better and we are working towards it. We are not leaving anything unturned. Plus, whatever is your or whatever is the feedback it is always discussed, and we always keep everybody informed in terms of the questions that they have.
Right, right, sir. That's all from my side, and we hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you.
Good day.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikash Singh for closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of Philip Capital, I thank you all for joining the conference and Jindal Saw Management for giving us the opportunity. Over to you, Nirav sir, for any closing comment.
I wish to close this by a big thank you to all of you. As always, we fully have a sense of the anxiety and the concerns that you people have in terms of market cap not reacting to, even though the issue that we are all grappling with is that if you look at the fundamentals of the company, they are very, very strong. Look at the credit rating, look at the performance by itself, compare it over a period of time, the kind of things that we have gone through in the last two quarters, again, give us a lot of confidence that indeed the fundamentals is very robust. We are taking steps towards value add, i.e. hunting, i.e. Sadhvana, all of those are steps which are going to consolidate and improve. But yet the market cap is not giving us or is not reflecting all the efforts that are being put or the status of the companies. That's a matter of concern for all of us, and we hope that we would be able to correct that soon because of these extraneous factors, one of them being the NTPC arbitration award. So with that, I thank you very much. We would be back with the second quarter or the first half yearly results, and hopefully we would have a lot more good news to share then. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Philip Capital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.